say ah. It's time for Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. And now, Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein for another edition of Open Wide right here on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town. And today's subject, a beautiful smile. And I love that because people, well, the smile, you know, some people, they don't think necessarily of all the organic things in their mouth.
Yeah.
The health of their mouth in that sense. What a great mouth to them is a pretty mouth, a beautiful smile.
That's kind
of thing. Okay, so I have some information here, and I want you to opine on it, Sue and Dr. Edelstein. And it says, the mere act of putting your mouth in the shape of a smile changes the blood flow to the brain and actually makes you feel happier. The fact that smiling itself boosts your mood has a further positive impact because smiling has a contagious effect.
Isn't that powerful?
I couldn't say it better myself.
All you have to do is put your mouth in that U shape, blood flow to the brain, and you feel different. What a simple thing.
You know, even if you're not feeling well, you know, feeling kind of sick or whatever.
Yeah.
If you can smile, boy, yeah. I'll tell you what, it does.
This is a funny story. I just moved in with my boyfriend recently, and we were hanging some art up in the home office the other night. We were getting frustrated. The nail wasn't going in right, and it was not centered, and he was getting frustrated, and I was getting frustrated, and he's pretty supportive and knew we were going to do a show about this, and I had this research out, and we were both looking at it. And so in the middle of our frustration of hanging the art and it was coming off the wall, I just looked at him. Don't you need to smile right now? Don't you need more blood flow to your brain? Go ahead and smile. So okay. Now that's our big joke. When anything frustrating happens, don't you need to smile now?
Okay. Well, then I'm different than him. Because I don't know that in a situation like that how well I would react to that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But isn't it true, though, Dr. Edelstein?
Oh, gosh, yes. Gosh, yes.
Did you ever work with somebody or have a neighbor or somebody, a friend, a relative? Probably a relative, you know, because you know how families are. They don't smile. That's just something about them.
Actually, I took a course years ago. This is when I first went into practice. So we're talking probably 28, 29 years ago. It wasn't EST, but it was, I think it was called LifeSpring. It was like EST. And
is that one of those where you can't go to the bathroom?
Right, right. Only this one you were able to go to the bathroom.
Okay,
I think that was the only difference. but I'll never forget this. We partnered up, and something that I learned from my partner and my partner learned from me is that when you smiled, it made you seem more warm and friendly. And when you didn't smile, you've seen the opposite. You're sending a message. So not only does it make you feel good, but it makes someone across from you feel good if you smile. There was also a trust issue. There was a trust question in this program, and there was something about trust that was conveyed by a smile. So it was warmth and trust. And when my partner didn't smile, I felt the opposite of them. Not trustworthy and not warm and friendly, of course.
You know, I wonder too whether, you know, we talked about it improving the blood flow and so on and so forth when you smile. I wonder if it kind of releases endorphins or something, or serotonin in your brain.
I'm sure that's why, you know? Yeah. If it boosts your mood, it has to be serotonin related.
I find it too that it's contagious. And I think I said that when I was reading this before. It is contagious. It's contagious to yourself. It's contagious to those around you. And people are just drawn to people who smile a lot. Mm-hmm. But you know, so I know people, I've known so many people over the years, they don't want to smile because they look so bad.
That's the case. They've also done studies, and that smile is an asset to someone's career. And people will experience more advancement in their career if they have a good pleasing smile.
Mm.
It's hugely important in the career as well as a relationship.
Do you see people, if you're standing in line at the grocery store or wherever, anywhere, just people out there that you never met them before, you've never seen them, you look at them and you look at their mouth and you say to yourself, boy, what I couldn't do for this person.
All the time. All the time.
Probably every day.
My kids laugh at me because a waiter or waitress will come up and I'll say something like, oh, boy, I could fix that smile. You know, my kids always make fun of me.
And yeah, Sue, do you say you find the same thing?
Absolutely. You do notice the ones that need help more than you notice the smiles that are so pretty.
You know, that's so true.
I mean, being in the profession, you know, there's celebrities on TV that I watch and I am just like, where is her dentist? His dentist, why are they letting them walk around with this crooked gum line? Why is that gum up high? No one's telling them. I mean, celebrities, I could call out their names. I won't put them. We have a fun little slide presentation that we do at the end of one of his programs where we do the celebrity's mouth without the face and have the audience guess. And then we, you know, it's a show about cosmetic dentistry and improving your smile.
Wow, that must be cool.
There's a lot of people out there that need a little bit of help.
You know, I think too of children, you know, if a child has really crooked teeth or something, or maybe the gum line thing you're talking about, you know, other kids are going to glom onto that very quickly. Oh, it's going to become the source of a lot
with
of
the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No question about that.
Yeah.
Do you have children brought to you at an early age by the parents saying, take a look at their smile? And
four smiles, usually not at an early age, but it's not uncommon after orthodontics for there to be a crooked gum line, even though the teeth are straight. Or there to be a very gummy smile. It's more common than you think. So someone says,
they think that it's fixed now. Because they just wore braces for 3 years.
Well, that's why they come to see me, because it's not fixed. The teeth are straight and beautiful, but they need a gum lift. They need a gum adjustment.
The smile is not beautiful.
A gum adjustment.
It's a big difference.
The teeth are straight, but the smile's not.
Correct.
It isn't right.
Right. Or the teeth might be a pretty color, but the smile still doesn't look good.
Right. What a lot of people...
These teenagers?
Teenagers or adults, a lot of times the... person may think they need veneers, and they may actually get veneers or some sort of a lot of cosmetic dentistry, when in fact they just need a gum adjustment. You wouldn't believe how common that is. And one of the worst things that we see is when someone has short little teeth and a lot of gum showing, and then they say get whitening. So now they have short white teeth, and now it makes the gum tissue look more apparent. So that's one of the worst situations. And a lot of these cases, we can just do a minor gum sculpting. It's a very easy procedure. These folks are always comfortable that evening as well as the next day. And there is huge improvement, as you see the photographs in front of you. I know the listeners can't see, but we change people's lives.
And perhaps less expensive maybe than some of the more elaborate cosmetic procedures.
Yes, for sure.
Oh my
it's
God,
a fraction.
Much less expensive. It is a fraction. The cases, the huge changes that you see in front of you would be perhaps the cost of two veneers. And we fix someone's entire smile with the cost of two veneers.
You have patients say to you, listen, I might need something to be done that I don't think maybe you do. Like maybe, you know, it could be root canal or something. Or it could be some other kind of procedure. But I know you and I trust you, and I want you to be first, I used this term last week, first line of defense.
Quarterback?
I want you to be my quarterback. Do you get that?
All the time, and we're happy to. We're happy to give people advice and a direction and make sure the foundation is healthy.
It's really part of your training.
Yes.
Is case assessment and treatment planning, big picture.
That's the reason
periodontists are actually skilled in that.
That's the reason why I went into periodontics.
Yes.
Because... you know, you have to have a healthy foundation before you build a house. So as a periodontist, we are that critical in any involved case. So
see, I don't think most people know that, though. They think of a periodontist as this is they're off to the side in a sense.
Or at the
working
end of
in one
the
particular
line.
At the end of the line.
Yeah, we're the end of the line people. When really we should be at the beginning of the line.
We should be at the beginning of the line.
Mm-hmm.
And the first place where someone should go to as a resource.
But am I correct? A lot of people don't understand that. They don't know that.
You're very right.
They think this is something my dentist will send me to if and when I ever need the thing.
You're exactly right.
You know?
The opposite should be the truth, though.
How many people go to a dentist only when they have pain, you know? They don't visit a dentist regularly. Now they're down in the dentist chair, because they got a pain that, man, that just is just miserable. And to me, this, listen, I've had various problems and health problems over the year. Thank God I've been very healthy over, but I think tooth pain is perhaps the worst. You know, it's just, it'll.
You can see it in people's eyes when they come in the office. It hurts.
You know, you're like, how am I going to make it to tomorrow?
Yep. You're walking the floorboards at night.
Well, we can help with that.
But is that statement correct, though? There are so many people out there. The only time they visit a dentist is when they experience an overwhelming pain.
Mm-hmm.
There are. I think some of the studies tell us that only 50% of the population will go to a dentist on a regular basis. Mm. So the other 50% fall into that category more commonly.
Do you have situations from time to time where they haven't been to a dentist in a long time? They come to you. They're having pain or having a problem, and you look at their mouth and you say to yourself, I think there's a song with this title. Yeah. Where do I begin? Isn't there a song like that?
If there's not, there should be.
Where do I begin?
We should write a song. Sometimes
do I start, you know?
Well, if the case is that complicated, what I would normally do is I will gather information that first visit. That first new patient special will be, rather than a complete consultation and treatment planning from beginning to end, it will be more gathering all the information I need, and then I will engage other specialists like myself. There are prosthodontists that are specialists in reconstructions, and there are orthodontists and endodontists, people that do root canals, and as well as oral surgeons on occasion. We will meet with other specialists to plan that case where we don't know where to begin, and we'll have a pretty good idea.
We have to take a break, and maybe this is a good segue, excuse me, to the special that we have right now, folks. Dr. Edelstein, you have a new patient special. Would they be able to avail themselves of the special in a situation like I just mentioned?
Yes.
Okay, it's $129, folks. And $129 in this day and age is very inexpensive for what you're going to get. You're going to get treatment worth $650, treatment and or analysis and so forth worth $650. Should you need more extensive work done, you can have interest-free financing for a year or 10% off for anything over $2,000. Visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. We'll be back with more of Dr. Bruce Edelstein, Sue Skipper, and Open Wide in just a moment.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper, Dr. Bruce Edelstein. The show is Open Wide, and this week we're talking about a beautiful smile, so important to people. Is it more important to women than men, you find, or is it equal?
I think it's pretty equal.
Yeah, I do too. I'd have to say, just based on what we've seen in our office.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
See, I would have thought it was more important to women than men. And I'm not saying this because of my own mouth, but I mean, just women, you know, they want to look pretty.
I think, you know, we've seen a lot of men who, well, back to what you were saying, Dr. Edelstein, earlier about a pleasant and pleasing smile is important to your career. We will hear that frequently from our male patients.
True.
They know that they need that. They need to These are the same men that will buy a nice suit and clothing, and they know it's important to their image.
And an attractive smile is someone is 40% more likely to be intimate with their partner if they have an attractive smile. So that's
there you go, guys.
That should be incentive enough.
Yeah, you want to know why she won't go within 10 feet either? Look no further than your teeth there, fella. I tell you, I said this, I said it last week. You know, if I'm in a business meeting with somebody, something important, I might not realize it, I think, but I think the first thing I look at is the smile, the teeth.
Yes.
If they got bad teeth, and this is like a lawyer I'm going to, from some big law firm, they charge $500-$600 an hour. I'm saying to myself, this.
It's definitely subconscious or conscious level, both. But there's definitely a strong component to that. I know when I met my wife, the first thing I looked at was a pretty smile.
Excellent.
That was the first thing I was attracted to.
Excellent. I would think that you would.
Yes.
Because of the field that you're into, it's important to you as well.
Yeah, that's important too.
You know, but I think it's important to all of us.
It is. There's no doubt about it.
Can a patient, can there be some like an aberration in their jaw, let's say, just the way their anatomy, the way they're made, that can affect the smile?
Of course. There are certain
I'm not just talking about like the big gums, just something like the shape of the mouth or something.
Oh yeah. And that's something that we would probably work with an oral surgeon to correct the skeletal issue with the jaw, either a prognathic jaw or retronathic jaw, which means that it just either sticks forward or retrudes back. That's all correctable today.
Isn't it amazing the technology that we have today compared to...
It is
40 or 50 years ago,
yeah,
maybe 20 years ago.
Yes,
it really is.
Is your practice from a professional standpoint? Is it different today than it was even 10 or 15 years ago?
In what way?
As far as the techniques that you use, do we have more advanced techniques today than we did 10 or 15
Definitely.
Years ago to be able to?
There's no question about it. We probably do more cosmetic procedures today.
Yes,
I would think
so.
A minute ago, you talked about perhaps women being more inclined to get smile makeovers. I think that's changed over the last 20, 30 years. Also, I think there probably were more women seeking smile enhancements through what we do. Now, I think it's more even. I think that's changed also. There have been changes in medication and technique and instruments that we use over the years that have improved and enhanced what we do considerably.
Excellent. So I want to ask about tooth whitening because, you know, we said somebody can have beautiful teeth, but if they're discolored, yellow, you've seen probably even other colors or brown. I wouldn't even go into the, you know, the lot of colors on the spectrum there.
I've yellow seen and brown green are enough. Teeth green. In my career, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, there was a song, you know, Charlie Daniels about, God, I can't remember. It was like Uneasy Rider, I think was the name of the song. And he was taking a motorcycle across the country, and he was in Mississippi. These rednecks attacked him, and one of the guys he kind of nicknamed Old Green Teeth. Gee, why would Mississippi be the place that he would...
I know, poor Mississippi.
Yeah, really.
Poor the South in
what
general.
What do they say? Alabama's always had one thing going for it, Mississippi. Oh, God, am I going to hear from it?
That's a good one.
Yeah. So what about tooth whitening? What kinds of options do we have today? You know, I see ads on TV or I hear them on radio. I go into a pharmacy and buy some kind of tooth whitening thing. But I'm talking about like a solution to the problem. I don't want something temporary. You know, my teeth are going to look good just today. What are the options that we have for tooth whitening?
We have several. One of the easiest and first ones you could buy is the Crest White Strips, right at Kmart, Walmart, your drugstore. They do work. For some people, they're weaker solutions than you would get in a professional bleach setting in a professional office, but they do work for some people.
For how long do they work?
Everybody's rate is different. A couple of months. I mean, I just bleached my teeth for the first time 2 years ago, and I felt like after 5 or 6 months I needed to do it again. And I probably could do it again. My teeth are a little sensitive to bleaching, so I don't do it a lot.
You have beautiful teeth.
Thanks.
That's very important, isn't it?
Yeah,
it
sure especially is. In my, I better not come to work with green teeth.
Did you ever work with coworkers in the dental field who had teeth that looked like they were certainly less than stellar, you know?
Yes. I remember a dentist that had I was friends with and worked with, that he had very, very, very crooked teeth. And very uneven and very crooked. And he eventually had orthodontics, and he has a beautiful smile now. And I'm just so happy for him. It's unbelievable. Mm. Yeah.
How old was he when he got the dental?
He could have been 40.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people probably older than that with the Invisalign and whatever is out there.
Oh yeah. We have wonderful options as far as that goes.
So nice. Years ago, I mean, you had this big metal mouth, and it just seemed like orthodontics was something just kids got done, you know?
Yeah. It streamlined a lot. Back to your bleaching question, if the Crest strips don't work, you can come into the office. We can make trays, provide some bleaching solution. We have some nice solutions. We have some made especially for sensitive teeth. They do work if you're prone to sensitivity when you bleach. The stuff that we actually sell, which is why I just did it for the first time 2 years ago, we finally got bleach. It's easy to use. You wear it for 30 minutes a day or go to sleep with it and pull it out in the middle of the night. Then the next tier is probably Zoom is the name brand that most people are familiar with.
Is that the laser chair or the light or whatever it is?
No, it's a bleaching solution and then a special light that they shine on your teeth.
The light,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and like within 30, 40 minutes. We don't do Zoom. Yeah, we let a lot of our referring doctors handle that for patients. We don't step on their toes with that service. And but the Zoom is supposed to be comfortable and give great results pretty quickly. You don't have to do it every day for 3 weeks like a home bleach. A little more expensive, but still affordable. There's wonderful options. Bleaching has been out for 30 years. It's safe. It's easy. It's a beautiful way to improve your smile. But I will say, if you still have an uneven gum line or the teeth are crooked, you can be as white as you want, but all you're going to do is have white teeth that still are not proportionate, the correct length, the correct width, relating to one another in a proper fashion. That's what makes a dazzling smile, is really proportion.
You know, I had a cousin in years symmetry. Ago. She wasn't very attractive. She had a rather large nose, and she finally got surgery for rhinoplasty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all she ever wanted, I mean, gosh, bless her, for years, you know, she wanted to get that rhinoplasty, you know, and finally she became an adult and she went and she got it done. She got a beautiful nose, but the problem was, you know, the rest of her wasn't exactly, you know what I mean? But sometimes people, they focus on one little thing.
Yes.
And they think, gosh, if I can only
just have that,
have a hair transplant or whatever it is.
Well, you know, when you reupholster the chair, then the couch doesn't look so good.
You know, you're right. But is there truth to what I'm saying? Isn't that what you're saying, sir?
No, it's true beauty first and foremost starts within. And you have to feel good and be confident. And if there are things you want to improve and change, then do it. They've done studies on what makes a man or a woman attractive. And what they have found is it's really symmetry. If the eyes are too close together, no matter how pretty they may be, it doesn't look so appealing. If they're too far apart, if one eye is higher than the other, if the nose is too large, referring to your family member, if the ears stick out, if one corner of the mouth droops down and the other one goes in, symmetry and proportion are really what guide beauty. And when someone has that, and that's our guiding principles when we design cosmetic smiles or we're improving someone's gum line, what should be the proportion? How symmetrical should it be? And we follow that golden rule. Really creating a beautiful smile is an art and a science. We just don't, oh, I think the gum line would look good here. I think I'll make it go there. It's really measurements and taking into
effect.
It's not
subjective.
No, it's not. It's not, mm-hmm. really. There are rules that guide us in creating and sculpting that gum line to give someone's teeth a more attractive appearance.
And then beyond the rules, we take the rules and then apply art. And we have a little bit of an artistic license.
Correct.
Above and beyond the rules.
Correct.
You know, I'm looking at a couple of pictures that I've got here. I think I got them from y'all.
Huh. Yes, you did.
Cosmetic gingival reduction. Okay, obviously, because we're on radio, you can't see it, folks. But we see pre-op and post-op pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So this first pre-op picture, I see the post-op compared to the pre-op, and this woman's teeth, they're larger now.
Yes.
It's the same teeth, but they're bigger.
Her teeth have not been touched. They've not been bleached. But what smile looks better to you?
This one here on the right.
Right.
The
post-op. And what looks more like a 37-year-old attractive woman and not a 14-year-old little girl? I mean, short, squatty, square teeth have a very childlike appearance. And when you're 37, 40, you're an executive, you're dating, you just want to be a more beautiful woman, you want the smile that makes you look your age.
And which one would you rather kiss?
This one on the right. I think I'm in love.
We have had, I don't know, maybe a dozen patients that after we did a smile makeover like this, they actually got engaged or got married.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
it's true.
Yes, we've had.
They should have invited you to the wedding.
They
well,
should
we
have.
See a
you're,
lot of.
You're 100% correct.
We
they
do see
have.
A lot of brides getting ready to get married, and they want their teeth to be, you know, I always had this gummy smile. I always had this crooked gum line. Let's get it fixed before I get married.
How about the person on the bottom here? I can't tell the gender, but I can tell the ones on the top here, they're women. It's a woman.
It's the same person.
Oh, so it is the same person.
Yeah, it's just a different shot.
Oh, just kind of like pulling the lips up. Okay, yeah. Is that a retractor there?
Correct.
On the bottom and top there? Okay.
We like the
same woman.
Part two, yes. Same case.
Okay. Now, how about this one here? Again, this is radio, folks. So tell us what I'm seeing here.
What you're seeing is a similar smile.
Great story.
A similar smile enhancement. But in this case, the patient needed some cosmetic dentistry afterwards. So you're looking at new crown restorations done beautifully by a colleague of ours. And in addition, what you're seeing is in the process of doing this procedure, I also relax the lip. So you're seeing longer, prettier, more attractive teeth, as well as a lowering of the lip, which we can do with these procedures on a frequent basis.
How do you do that? How do you lower the lip?
Well, we change the shape.
It's the upper lip, right?
Yep. We change the shape of the gum tissue, and there is a lowering and a relaxation of the lip. Now, someone could get a similar result with Botox, but that wears off in 6 months. This is permanent.
Now, see, then this person seemed to me to have pretty nice-looking teeth to begin with, except on the pre-op, as a lady? Okay,
yes.
So, but there's too much of the gum showing in the pre-op.
Way too much.
And it's kind of detracting.
And see that little bit of tissue pooching out from her upper lip? It's not in the after. Because we changed the position, all of a sudden that excess tissue is not poofing out anymore.
Now here's the story. I called her that evening to see how she was. And her husband answered the phone, and he said she can't stop crying. And I said, oh my gosh, I mean, why is everything okay? Is she uncomfortable? He goes, no, she feels fine, but she's so happy she can't stop crying.
Wow.
She came in the day of her surgery as well and had all these photographs. We'd never seen them before. Okay, here's the photograph of what they call the California gum line, and here's the East Coast gum line, and here's the Canadian gum line. I think I'd want I just want to make sure that I get the California gum. We had never seen, and she found it on the internet. I mean,
California gum line.
It was really funny and cute, and we just told her, we're going to give you, based on what we know about art and science, what your mouth needs, not modeled after something you found on the internet.
You know something?
It was really funny.
I bet sometimes we don't realize the pain that somebody's experiencing. How self-conscious they are.
Yes, you're right.
You know? These are the gals that will cover their mouth. These are the gals that wouldn't smile.
Yes.
These people have personality changes after we do the smile makeover that we do. They all of a sudden, their hair
they're
is done
brighter,
different.
Their
makeup is done different. They're happy and confident and can't stop smiling.
Remember that one patient who had that really long mustache to cover his teeth?
Yes, I do.
And as he progressed through his treatment and his teeth got better and better looking, he would trim his mustache. And I mean, it had to have been 2.5 inches, the mustache. Not kidding. It was like a Manchurian kind of Fu Manchu.
It was designed to cover his smile.
He did it on purpose.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know people, you know, they have large ears and they try to cover them with
their
hair.
Sure, same thing.
You know, or maybe like one part of their face near the eyes, so they'll put comb hair over their over that part. It's a shame for them because they don't really want to have to do that.
Yes.
But this is what they feel that they have to do. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm loving this because we're talking about cosmetics, not just, you know, the science of dentistry and the more clinical part of it, but we're talking about the aesthetic part of dentistry. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. We have a evening lecture coming up on September 10th. That's what I wanted to say. It's about implants. Thursday night, September 10th. It's coming right up. It's at Brio. Great restaurant on the west side of Peachtree. It's up near Far Road.
Yes.
Not far from your office, by the way.
Very close.
Your office, Dr. Edelstein, is at 2045 Peachtree Street, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Free parking available?
Free parking and reserve spots right out front.
All right, excellent. And again, that's September 10th, Thursday, September 10th, 6 p.m. at Brio in the Peach Shopping Center. It is free of charge, heavy hors d'oeuvres, but you've got to register in advance. So go to mygumdoc.com to learn about dental implants, and you'll be glad you did. We'll be back with more of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein when we return.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Dr. Edelstein, I usually like to take a minute or so to just tell our audience, because, you know, not everybody listens to the entire show every single week, so some get new people tuning in all the time. You're a periodontist, which to me that always means, you know, gum specialist. Gum specialist, but apparently it's a lot more than just a gum specialist.
Absolutely. We are the architect of the foundation around the teeth, including a pretty smile. And an attractive smile starts at the gum line.
Okay, and you did your undergraduate work at Cornell. There's one Ivy League professional school. You went to Emory Medical Dental School.
Uh-huh.
And you got your advanced training at Penn, University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, my hometown. By the way, West Philadelphia. Did I ever tell you that?
You did?
Yeah, I went to Temple undergrad.
You did? Yeah. Wonderful restaurants in Philly, by the way.
You do have great restaurants. You like Italian food? Because you got some great Italian food in South Philly.
Love Italian food.
And then on the river there, on the Delaware River, you got nice fish.
I used to eat at a place called Catherine's, if you remember that at all. Mm-hmm. It was in the Italian part. And I remember about 20 years ago, I sent a patient there, and it was closed because it had bullet holes all over it. There was a hit.
When was this?
This was probably about 20 years ago. There was some sort of gang hit, and so the restaurant was closed with bullet holes all over the front. So this patient called me from Philly. This was even before cell phones, from their hotel room, I guess. They said, "Why are you sending us to this place?" There was bullet holes all over the front.
You know, I left Philly probably 20 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been out of Philly since the late 70s, but I used to go eat once in a while at Palumbo's. You might not know Palumbo's. Palumbo's burned down, okay? And there was another place over in Cherry Hill, across the river, Latin Casino. Great restaurant. They used to have shows there and stuff like that. Burned down. A lot of fires up there in Philly. You know what I'm saying? Those people have got to watch their, you know, be a little more careful. Not be so negligent, if you know what I'm saying here. Anyway, so we talked about the whitening options. And you don't do, you refer some of it out for various things. Huh?
Yes, we would. We would do some of the simpler whitening options and then refer out some of the more advanced cases to the folks that we work with that are better suited.
Okay. Now, I have some notes here that I have, and I'd like to read something from it. It says, research has shown that using sonic power toothbrushes can maintain whitening results and keep surface staining from forming.
Mm-hmm.
Are you an advocate of sonic power toothbrushes?
I am. But again, it depends on the case. If you listen to the company line, they think everyone should be using sonic or motorized toothbrushes. But I think that certain tissue types are better suited than others. Thicker tissue types, no problem. But some people that have thinner tissues, they might be prone to recession. I would be reluctant to recommend any type of sonic or motorized toothbrush for
that. Can you do damage to your gums from brushing?
Some patients will do damage by brushing. They brush too hard, and they can actually cause destruction, especially the thinner, more fragile tissue types.
But they feel like the harder they brush, mm-hmm. the better the job they're doing.
We had a tough time in that. I remember right around the 80s, taking people off of medium and hard bristle brushes. That's when soft got really popular. And boy, trying to get my dad and my uncles and my grandfather, you know, that generation
hard was great.
Off of a hard. It is if your teeth were all enamel and flat as that wall, but they're curved. The hard bristles don't go around the curves. They have gum tissue attached that doesn't need to be scrubbed.
So they can miss
with a stiff bristle brush.
They can miss certain spots every time.
Yes.
Yes.
And often did.
Yes, and hit some spots too much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So when we were talking about tooth whitening before, let me make sure I understand something. Before we can whiten one's teeth, don't we have to make sure that the teeth, whatever bacteria is on there that's discoloring the teeth, is removed to the best of our ability?
You would get the
otherwise,
best
you're just
result.
Putting it over the.
Correct. Yeah, you do need to clean. Start with a good thorough cleaning.
It's like
make sure you're healthy.
It's like if you didn't take a shower, but you put on deodorant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But,
yeah, my 15-year-old tried to do that last night.
Really?
Yes. He insisted upon it. And, you know, 15-year-olds.
Yeah, I hear you.
So I sent him back to the bathroom, and I told him to at least use the stronger stuff.
Shame to say, I think I did that a couple weeks ago. But for another show. Just kidding. But is the principle similar?
It
sure.
is. Especially, we'll have a tendency with our patients, if they are a thin tissue type and are in need of gum grafting and they want to bleach, we'll actually ask them to delay their bleaching. Let's get your gum stronger, because some people's tissues are irritated by the bleach. And if they're thin, they don't really need to have it further damaged or irritated by the bleach.
When you say thin, is this something that happens over time, thinning of the tissue?
No, there's a certain quality to the tissue. People have certain tissue types, like body types. It's very similar. And some people have thicker tissues and thicker bone around the teeth, and other people have thin, fragile tissues and thinner bone around the teeth, and then there are a lot of people in the middle. So we have to critically look at each tissue type differently. Most other people don't do that in this profession. If something is good, as I mentioned, the manufacturers that make the brushes, they want every person on the planet to buy one of these motorized brushes. But my job is to critically look at each patient in a unique way and recommend what's best. And what's best is very much dictated by their tissue type, by their genetic tissue type.
Are there differences between men and women as far as the...
Yeah, to some extent. I guess women would tend to have thinner types, mm-hmm. but that's not always the case.
Correct.
Men would tend to have thicker tissue types, but that's, again, not always the case.
So if you look inside somebody's mouth,
yes.
you don't see their face. You just look inside the mouth. You can't tell their gender, necessarily. You could probably make an educated guess.
Probably an educated guess, but there's also a more feminine shape to teeth.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Women tend to have more rounded lateral incisors, for instance. I remember in tooth anatomy, we talked about that all the time when I had to set up denture teeth. But there are certain traits that are more common in female teeth. Now, Bruce Jenner, you know, I don't know that. That's a whole different show.
Well, it was thicker tissues when he was Bruce. Now that he's Caitlin, yeah. the tissues have thinned out as well.
Oh, jeez. Send all the emails to Jeff.
Yeah, really?
Send them all to Jeff, not us.
and address them to politically correct at... oh, boy. Look, you opened the door, Dr.
I'm sorry. I couldn't That's resist.
Right. Okay, so the materials I have here says, we're talking about like kind of like daily smile care here, just things that we do on a daily basis. So it says that we tend to spend 24 to 60 seconds on our oral hygiene, and a mere 10 to 20% of us floss regularly and effectively. It sounds like something that's like it's a national tragedy in a sense. You know, we're just not spending enough time on our personal hygiene.
That's true.
Yes, absolutely.
How much time
true.
Should we spend? What should we be doing? How often should we brush our teeth, and for how long?
I would recommend a thorough brushing twice a day, which means...
That's what I do when I wake up, when I go to bed.
Probably, and then an optional in the middle of the day would be an optional, maybe a quicker brushing over. But I think, what did it say, 60 seconds in that article?
Said we spend 24 to 60 seconds.
Yes, 24.
That's on our oral hygiene.
24 seconds.
It's 24 to 60
that's
seconds.
That's ridiculous.
That's yeah.
I'd say 60 seconds would be the absolute minimum. I would probably say closer to 2 minutes.
Which is a long time if you're counting the
yes.
second hand.
What do they say, the length of time of the national anthem, I've heard.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
Now, I happen to sing it very slowly.
And I'm happy if someone flosses once a day. They have to take their time and do it in a correct fashion, but once a day. How about you, Sue? Do you reckon
I agree with
any
that.
Different than that?
Yeah, I agree. I'm a fast flosser, but for flossing to be effective, it has to have deadly aim. It really is one of those things that's technique sensitive. But if you learn to do it well...
Do you show people how to?
Mm-hmm.
All
we
the time.
We do it all the time. It's,
how to do
it's part of the process.
It
it's
is.
Part of.
You'd be amazed about how many... Percentage-wise, how many people were never shown how to floss correctly? That's one of the things that
yes.
we do different than other areas of dentistry. Is we will.
I mean, it's not standard operating procedure in the industry.
No, it's not.
I have to show them how to do it. It's because we get patients who'll say, "But I floss all the time. Why do I still have problems?" And as soon as we take the time, show me how you do it. And it is unfortunately one of those things that if it's not done correctly, you don't get the benefit from it.
What do we say? That
it's like a push-up.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You're exactly right.
You know, there's a couple things in life that people lie about. One of them is like their income. You know, yeah. when they're surveyed, they found uniformly that people exaggerate how much money they make in a survey.
Huh.
Okay, I think the other thing they lie about is probably how often they floss. No,
yes,
they lie that they lie to their dentist about that.
Yeah,
yeah, that was just in the press a few weeks ago.
Can you tell if they're lying to you about
it? Absolutely. Oh yes, it's obvious.
You almost don't even need to ask.
I had a very good friend of mine, Jay. He comes to see me for routine cleanings, and he said, you know, I got to be honest with you. This was right before I examined him. Bruce, I got to be honest with you, but I hadn't flossed, okay? And I looked in his mouth. I said, oh, my God, Jay, you know, you hadn't flossed. You look really good. He said, I'm only kidding. I've been flossing. I just wanted to know if you could tell the difference.
But if he wasn't a flosser, and he said that he was, you could most likely call him on that.
Absolutely.
All right. We have to take yet another break. We're up against the break. Well, on the other side, though, we're talking about a daily smile care. So I want to ask about, among other things, tobacco use, because we really haven't talked about that today. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And coffee, which I'm happy to be a coffee drinker.
Mm-hmm.
And also, my wife drinks, you know, Diet Coke,
mm-hmm.
things like that, Coca-Cola, yeah. Diet Coke. And I'm wondering what impact, if any, the soft drinks have on our teeth in general and our smile in particular. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Their office is at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital, next to the Darlington, the apartment complex. And I want you to know that there's a new patient special, $129. And this comprehensive exam and treatment is worth $650. So I would implore you to visit Dr. Edelstein for this new patient special. Also, in the event you do need work that is more extensive, you can get interest-free financing for a year or 10% off anything over $2,000. Do you take credit cards?
Yes.
You know, sometimes I think it's easier to just, now I don't let my credit cards get too out of control, but sometimes it's easier to just put on a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the type who pays it off pretty quickly, just put on a credit card.
Airline miles, frequently they're associated with
frequent
bonuses.
Frequent flyer miles, there you go. All right, back with more of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein when we return.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. You know, sometimes I like to say that the stuff that we say off mic, you know, during the break, you know, we should really keep the mic going here. It might be more entertaining sometimes. Than,
yeah.
It would be entertaining. Maybe controversial, but entertaining, yeah. Sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Let me ask you a question, because, you know, you're giving a lot of great suggestions about how to maintain our teeth and our overall dental health. How often optimally should we go to the dentist?
For routine cleanings?
Yeah, let's just say a 40-year-old adult,
yes.
Generally pretty good teeth, wants to maintain them in the best possible fashion. How, in other words, how important is visiting the dentist in the equation?
I think it's critical, especially someone over 40 years old. We've mentioned that statistic before, that anyone that on average, the American population over 65, 70% have some sort of periodontal disease. So I think the old adage every 6 months is, I think, antiquated. I think an adult that has absolutely nothing wrong with them should be closer to 4 months in between cleanings, and anyone that has anything, decay prone, had history of periodontal disease, history of grafting procedures, they should be more like 3 months. And we have some patients, believe it or not, Jeff, that see us every 2 months for professional cleanings. They want a higher level of health, and we've been able to help them with that.
Mm-hmm.
Real quickly, when we're talking about daily smile care, things like tobacco use, coffee drinking, colas, sodas, whatever, how does that fit into the equation?
I think coffee, probably there's more staining, so professional cleanings should remove most or all of that. Pertaining to carbonated beverages, I think they're probably fine as long as people don't leave the beverage in the mouth. there is some chemical erosion of the tooth structure from swishing and leaving. There are people that have a habit where they'll drink a carbonated beverage and just let it sit in their mouth because they like the way it fizzes. And there can be significant damage if that's done too much.
We're almost out of time, and this is kind of the elephant in the middle of the room. What about, nobody's talking about, what about tobacco use?
Tobacco use isn't good for anything, period.
Yeah, there's no redeeming value.
No, none.
And the teeth are no exception.
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. So someone who smokes is exquisitely more prone to periodontal disease. We do know that.
Even if they keep their teeth clean.
Yes. Yes.
They're more prone to bone loss.
As a matter of fact, the statistic that I heard was someone who smokes is, let me rephrase that, 70% of the periodontal disease we see is somehow related to smoking.
Mm.
So that's a big...
Huge.
That's a huge problem.
Huge problem. Don't smoke, folks. If you smoke, quit as soon as you can.
Cut down.
Cut down. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Their office is located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. And don't forget, folks, they have a lecture coming up Thursday, September 10th at Brio, one of my favorite restaurants. It's in the Peach Shopping Center on Peachtree. Free of charge. Begins at 6 o'clock, but you need to go register at mygumdoc.com. Mygumdoc.com. And folks, Dr. Edelstein, Sue Skipper, thank you as always. It's been great.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
This has been Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, Tuesdays at noon, only on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.